not by mistake and accident. You may be miserable in your job, but you're there by divine design. And your misery in your job is because you don't have a proper understanding of vocation. You don't have a proper understanding of God taking you and using him, or using you for his glory. So let's think for a moment on the whole concept of vocation as something used of God. He is using you to accomplish his purpose upon the earth, and you are one small part of it. So think about it for a moment. You pray, give us this day our daily bread, and God answers it. But how does he answer it? Do you open up your front door and there's a loaf of bread on the front porch? Is that how he answers it? And a lot of times we want to think mystically. We pray, we want to see mystical answers. I'm praying for bread and manna is going to fall from the sky. It doesn't work that way. He could. God is able. But that's not normally how he works upon the earth. How does he bless men upon the earth? He blesses men upon the earth through the vocations of other men. So you have a farmer that is growing wheat. You have this man over here that works in a plant that makes fertilizer that the farmer uses over here on his wheat. Another one is working over here making pesticides, and he puts it on his wheat so that you get a full crop. This man over here makes farming equipment, combines and ways to harvest the wheat, and tractors, and so that's being used over here. And then here's a bread company. This person works for Sunbeam Bread or Bunny Bread or whatever, and they're taking the wheat that's been harvested, and of course it's gone through several hands to get to the bread place. It's been ground into flour, and all of these middle people, and all of these are accomplishing their vocations as God is using them. Then it gets to the bread place, and you have the man who, he's a baker as his vocation, and God is using him. And then you have another man that drives a bread truck that gets it to the store. That's his vocation. He drives the bread truck, and he does it to the glory of God. And then you have the merchant in the store. And then finally, you get your bread. Give us this day our daily bread. But what about all of the vocations it took to get it there? Heal you. God can supernaturally heal us in any secondary means. But the normal means by which God heals us, and it's God's healing nonetheless, it's just that we're so prone to look to the mystical that we want God to work mystically that we sometimes fail to see how God uses the vocations of his people to accomplish his end. You pray, oh God, heal me from this. But God has a doctor over here that his vocation is medicine. He has a pharmacist over here whose occupation is dispensing medications. But you have a drug manufacturer, Pfizer or Johnson & Johnson, who does research and development through these scientists that develop your antibiotic, and you take the antibiotic, and 7 days later you're healed, and you say, but that's not from God, that's just medicine. That is what God does. He has answered your prayer. And so God often, usually upon this earth, uses the means of vocation. And so here you are in your vocation, whatever it may be. You know, if I'm robbed tonight, then I pick up the telephone and I call 911. I say, hello, I've just been robbed. And they send a police officer. That's God's means of protecting us. He has ordained, read Romans 13, he has ordained the civil authorities to protect us. He has ordained them. He has raised them up, and they are his ministers for justice. It's their vocation. It's what they do. The police officer comes to my house, and I'm glad he does. It's his vocation. My house catches on fire tonight, and I call the fire department. Here comes the fire truck within seconds, and they put the fire out. It's their vocation, and God has blessed me through their vocation. You see how it all works together, how God uses men to bless men? The mothers working at home, maintaining a good household, doing all things right and well, training up her children, recognizing that they are the next generation, and God is using their vocation to train these young children for their future vocation, and it's all used of God for His glory. And the Christian recognizes this. I'm a small part in what God is doing, but I'm going to do it the very best I can because I'm here for Him. I'm here for His glory. I'm here to be used of Him. And so we use our vocation. And you see how wrong we are when we try to set it all in its various categories. You know, this is a spiritual endeavor here. He's a pastor, so he's involved in a spiritual work. But I'm a garbage collector. My work's not spiritual. You know, what's spiritual about driving a garbage truck down the street and picking up a can and chunking it in the bag? Or I guess now having the little arm that lifts up the can and dumps it in automatically, you still have the driver. What's spiritual about that? It's because it's his vocation. Because God has raised him up for that. And I'm thankful that there is a vocation of garbage men. The garbage would pile up rather quickly at your house if God had not raised up garbage men. And you look at the whole of life. God is doing this as he brings his world to order, and he's doing it by way of vocation. And so we see this as an opportunity of service to God, and it is spiritual. Just because you're not a pastor does not mean that your life is not spiritual. And just because you may think your job is mundane, you do it all to the glory of God. God is interested in what you do, and he's interested that you do it well. And so, you know, you can imagine if I say, well, I need a new pair of shoes. I go and buy a new pair of shoes, and 2 weeks later, the stitching is coming loose on them because some guy did not care about his work, and he did it cheaply, and he did it poorly. And you see how I am paying for his poorness. And so, you know, as a Christian, we want to do everything the very best we can. Not just because we want to be a blessing to those around us, which should be a motivation. You should love your neighbor as yourself. You should have a regard for those around you. You should desire to do the very best you can for their sake, no matter what you're doing, because ultimately what your job is has something to do with other people. But ultimately, we do everything we do to the glory of God, for His glory, for His honor, because we see ourselves as called and separated by God. So, do you practice excellence in your calling, in your life, in everything you do? Do you practice excellence? I know you hear this from me a lot. You probably get tired of it. But I set before you a high standard. But this is not just me setting before you a high standard. This is God's standard that is set before you. You do all things for His glory. If you're a slave, if you're a servant, you do it the best you can unto God. And Paul says, not for eye service, not so the master will look upon you and be pleased, but you're doing it as unto God. And this is the case with everything we do. Wives, obey your husbands as to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Everything we do, whether you eat or drink, or whatsoever things you do, do all to the glory of God. Look at creation. Look around you at God's creation. Do you think that God has any concern about excellence in what he does? Look around you. Look at the perfection around you. Look at how and scientists know, if the Earth's rotation was off just a hair, we wouldn't be here. If the solar system was not placed in the galaxy exactly where it's at, we wouldn't be here. If the galaxy was placed in the vastness of space, if it was not where it was, we wouldn't be here. You think God is concerned about excellence? About doing things right. I mean, look at the human body. I mean, it amazes me. I mean, how in the world can I take my hand and pick up something that, you know, I could pick up something 20 pounds and pick it up with my hand just by willing my hand to close and to grip it. God did that. And you look at all the details of this creation, and you see, wow, God is concerned about perfection, about doing things right, about order, about, and look at the order of creation. Things are functioning in an orderly manner. It's the way God is. And then God looks at you and me, and he says in Matthew 5:48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. God is interested in what you do. And so are you being the very best housewife that you can possibly be? Are you being the very best mother that you can possibly be? Is your house in order? I mean, are things in order with your house because you are giving attention to detail, small details, because you want everything to be just right? Are you fulfilling your calling in such a way? If you produce a product, are you making the very best product that you can possibly make? The problem with American productivity now, why do you think that they're buying Japanese cars instead of Ford? Why is that? You think it has anything to do with quality at all? What has happened with our productivity? What has happened to the Protestant work ethic? The Japanese, that's not a Christian country. They're not founded upon Christian principles. But this country that's supposedly founded upon Christian principles and a Christian work ethic, the employees go to their job and they go, whatever I can get away with, it's good enough. I don't have to be excellent today. I'll just put together whatever kind of product I can and get my pay and go home. And they're about to lose their job. They're about to lose their profession unless they go to work for Toyota or Nissan and learn how to put out an excellent product. Well, we even know in how we spend our money the importance of excellence. You don't want to buy something terrible. And so a workman that puts out a product ought to put out the very best product that he can do to the glory of God. It's not just so that, you know, you can go at the end of the day and say, wow, this is really a nice car. I mean, that should be something that you feel good about. But ultimately, it's about the glory of God. If you're in management, do you take your responsibility seriously to be the very best that you can be? If you're in the professional field, do you strive to be the very best that you can be in everything you do each and every day, because you see yourself, I'm placed here by God. I am called and separated by God from my mother's womb, and he is using me today. And you say, I don't believe that. Well, then you're denying the sovereign hand of God, and you're declaring that this world is in chaos and there's no design and no command and no rule by God, that you're just going through your life without purpose. But we know better than that. We know that God has raised us up, and we are doing exactly where we are, what we are doing, because God has ordained it to be so. And we see our entire life as a calling from God to be used for his glory. That's vocation. And that's the Christian life as we live it for his glory. The problem with our generation is this. People don't see direction. They don't see purpose. They look at Paul saying here, I'm called to be an apostle and separated under the gospel of God. I'm called and separated. This is my work. I'm giving myself to this work. This is what God has set me apart to do. From my mother's womb, this is it. This is what I'm doing. And most people do not see any purpose in their life. This was the problem with the faithless widow that Paul mentioned. 1 Timothy 5:13, and withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. They have no direction. no purpose. I'm not called and set apart by God. Do you think if this widow saw her life as a calling from God, that she was set apart to do to the glory of God, she would be going house to house with no purpose and no direction and no intent? Not at all. She would see her life as having purpose and direction. I'm going to live today to the glory of God. I'm going to live today with excellence and purpose because this is what God has put me upon the earth to do. But if you don't have the purpose, then your life will be filled with wandering such as this. We're here for the glory of God. Compare this widow to the virtuous woman. When we find Proverbs 31:27, she looketh well to the ways of her household. She eateth not the bread of idleness. Or Proverbs 31:15, she riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maiden. Verse 18, her candle goeth not out by night. What's different about her? What's different about this silly widow that goes from house to house, idle and tattlers and busybodies? What's the difference between them and the excellent wife or the virtuous woman? This virtuous woman saw her life as having meaning and direction. And her children or her husband rise up and call her blessed. She's a blessing used from the hand of God. You see the importance of vocation? God raised her up. This is her calling. This is what she does. This is her life. Live for the glory of God, and she's doing it in such a way that her children are well taken care of, and her husband sits in the gates, and people marvel at his wife, and they rise up and call her blessed because she has been a blessing to them. And she does it to the glory of God. What are you doing? What is your life? Is it filled with purpose and design? Do you face each day with a sense of excitement? I'm living today for the glory of God, and I'm going to do today the best I can because it's for Him. He is raising me up. I'm called and separated. He has prepared me for this day, and I will spend this day for His glory. Paul saw his life this way. It was a divine calling. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God. And then the verse that we read this morning in our scripture reading, as he gets to the end of the life, he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. You hear that? I have finished my course. What's he saying? I've been given a course. God has given me an appointment. God has called me and separated me. I have finished what God has placed me to do. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is a crown of righteousness laid up for me. He saw his life as an appointment. He saw it as one separated for God. And your life is the same way. Christian, your life is separated unto God. That's what Paul means by I'm a servant. He owns me. I'm a bondservant. He bought me. I am being used of His hand for His glory. And He uses us to bless others. And that's what He does. And that's how He does it. And we could talk, forever about how this all works out. You go home and you're in your house and you realize, wow, there were carpenters that built it. There were loggers that cut the trees down. There were sawmills that, and it just goes on and on. Steel manufacturers that make nails. And it where does it end? This is the way God works. He does this. And He wants us to do it well. He wants us to do it for His glory. So do you see today as important? And do you see your life as a labor for God, for His glory? Because your life is a calling. It's a separation. You are used of His hand for His glory. Quit thinking of things just in terms of this is spiritual and this is secular. And I do things spiritual when I read my Bible or pray, and secular when I go to work in the morning or when I cut my grass or when I take care of the kids or when I change a dirty diaper. That's surely secular stuff. Nothing spiritual about changing a dirty diaper. But it is. It's a calling. It's your life. It's a vocation. And we do all these things to the glory of God. Do you see your life as a calling and a separation to God for His use, for His glory?